Viking Round Ball Podcast, a weekly look at Vinton County round ball action, Southeastern Ohio high school hoops, and any other topic that might be on our mind.
Yeah, this could get ugly.
The Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by Rabies Homes and Rabies Auto Group, located 8 miles west of MacArthur, the Knox Insurance Agency, quality service since 1885. At Knox Insurance, insurance is our product, service is our business. Vinton County National Bank, your community bank and proud supporter of Viking basketball. DBK Media Services. Unlock your company or group's potential. Visit dbkmediaservices.com. MacArthur Super Value. Stop in today and find out how you can get $50 in free merchandise just for shopping with us. And now, broadcasting from a padded room. No, really. On the World Wide Web, here's your host, Carl Knox, and the head coach of the Vikings.
You know, and everything.
Matt Combs.
And welcome once again to another edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast alongside Vinton County Boys Basketball Coach Matt Combs. Carl Knox, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, we certainly appreciate you taking some time out of your day to enjoy Viking Round Ball information.
Yep.
You got a spring in your step tonight, don't you there, Coach?
Well, you know, big game tomorrow, good practice tonight, so yeah.
I guess, you know, technically speaking, and we're going to get into this here in a little bit. Obviously, the big win versus Alexander. By the way, I do enjoy an exciting game, but just so you know, next time
that might have been a little over the top,
a little bit too much. Okay. Yeah, I think everybody. I think I can speak for most Vinton County Viking boys basketball fans. That was more than what we really needed. I don't mind a close one. But what a game. But then, of course, you mentioned big week coming up.
Right.
Nelsonville tomorrow night, Tuesday, February the 14th.
Yes.
Valentine's Day.
Yep.
So you got that going for you, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nice.
Yep.
And then Friday night, a big backyard rivalry down at Wellston. That'll be a toughie, playing the Golden Rockets in there. They've been playing some good ball lately. And then before we get into the Alexander game, I guess the Zane Trace game that was canceled from this past Saturday, it was originally rescheduled for this coming Saturday, the 18th, and it's now been rescheduled again for next Monday, February the 20th.
I guess what happened was Zane Trace girls have a sectional final that afternoon, like at 4:30. So with that 4:30 time, it really prevented us from playing an afternoon game or playing an evening game, really. So, plus it's supposed to be our senior night, so we didn't really want to, just throw it together at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or anything. Plus our girls, if they win tonight, will play about 1 o'clock
Saturday.
Yeah. So there was just a lot going on. So we luckily, after the tournament draw yesterday, Zane Trace doesn't play their sectional game until Saturday. We don't play our sectional game until Friday, so we thought, well, let's just go put it on Monday. So it's going to be on Monday, February 20th, at the normal time, 5 o'clock, freshman start.
Triple header.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you guys will be playing what your tournament game is next, a week from Friday.
Right, the 24th at 8:30. We're the second of two games that night, and we'll be playing Fairfield Union.
Well, we'll get into the whole, we're going to have a whole segment tonight. Yeah. We'll talk about the bracketology, so to speak. You had the tournament draw. We're recording this Monday evening, February the 13th, so we'll get all your highlights and all the politic and all the drama that went on with you coaches down at Jackson High School yesterday. How was the draw briefly? Was it okay?
Yeah, it went fine.
No coach fights?
No, there wasn't. Well, I don't think there was a whole lot. There wasn't any drama in our room yesterday, and I didn't really hear of any in any other, so I think everything went relatively smooth yesterday.
They have good snacks?
Yeah. Had a nice little spread afterwards. Got a cold cut sandwich, some chips, a brownie. Yeah, it was a good time.
Now, who's the Grand Poopah jerk of the Southeastern District Association coaches? Who's that guy? Who's in charge of that stuff?
In charge of yesterday?
Well, isn't that the Coaches Association? Don't they
put out
the food?
No, that's the Southeast.
That's the board. That's the board. Southeast. Okay, yeah. Those are the big
guys.
Yeah,
they handle all that. They handle everything with the tournament. So Doug Stuyvesant and I from District 13 and 14, we don't really have anything to do with yesterday other than just our coaching duties.
You're the grand poopah of District 13. Coach Stuyvesant is the...
I suppose.
Well, you took the title over from Coach Pearson, right?
Well, he was the grand poopah. You have to do it for like 5 years to get that title.
Do you get a hat? Like a big fuzzy...
Well, I don't know.
Shriner's hat or something?
That's something we're going to talk about.
You know, I think a mascot head would be appropriate for you.
What are you thinking?
I don't know, it's like a horse. Like the Chillicothe paints. You remember the old mascot from the paints? I think you'd look good in that.
Well, it might improve my looks.
I have not talked to you all week. I was out of town last week on business. Of course, we had the little technical glitch when you dropped the gravy on the console. But you were a train wreck before the game with Alexander. Did you have a feeling?
Should have saw me at halftime.
Well, okay. Let's just segue right into that. We're 4 minutes into this, and I really wanted to get into the whole Matt Combs romantic Valentine's Day evening after the game tomorrow night. We'll touch on that later, maybe, but. Let's talk about the Alexander game. Obviously, for anybody who was there to see it or heard it on the radio, I know Jeff Thacker and Daniel Thacker did the game for 98.7 WYRO, and then the guys from OU and Power 105, they were there in the house, and it was a nice crowd. Of course, Hall of Fame, we talked about those people last week, and that went very nice. You know, nice crowd. Always a good evening. And you know, I think, I don't know, I talked to Coach Gabriel before the game. I talked to him in halftime of the JV game. And, you know, we kind of, you know, how's your team doing? How, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he made the comment. He said, I think if we can kind of shut down Vinton County on the three ball, we might be able to make a game of it.
Right.
And, you know, because all you coaches never overplay your hand. It's always, you know, it's always the sky's falling when you talk to the opposition. But I thought he brought up a good point. And I'm thinking, well, we're at home. We play well at home. And, boy... You know, they give them some credit. They played well for three quarters, three and a half quarters. But you guys got you dug yourself a huge hole in the first half. Let's just concentrate on this first half. What all did you see going wrong, and how did you handle that at halftime?
Well, it all started. We actually started the game 4-0. We were up 4-0, and from that point on, then things kind of started to fall apart. I thought defensively we were over aggressive at times, which led to some backdoor cuts and some things like that for them. I thought they did a nice job of taking their time, even against our pressure, just, you know, not full court press, but just half court on, you know, man to man pressure in the scrimmage area. They did a nice job of taking their time, getting decent shots. And then I thought it was a combination really of, you know, as our offense started to struggle, then our defense kind of went with it a little bit, because I think kids got frustrated. It was a very physical game, and I think that frustrated our kids early on. You know, when we were trying to drive into the gaps of their zone, you know, there was some contact, there was some grab and some, you know, some physicality, but it was both, you know, I mean, it was allowed to go both ways. And I just thought our kids didn't do a very good job of adjusting to how the game was being called. Instead, they were getting frustrated, allowing that to affect their decision making, allow that to affect their, you know, we took quick shots, we took some bad shots, we didn't get on the boards at all, which ended up being a huge plus in the second half when we did that. But we got hardly any offensive rebounds, it seemed like, in the first half. So the next thing you know, it just sort of snowballs. I mean, Alexander, then after they build a small lead of 5 or 6, I think Jake Gray got open a couple times for them and knocked a couple threes down. That was a big part of our game plan. We talked going in, we really felt like Jones was usually going to get his points. Now, he didn't.
You guys contained him.
But we went in, honestly, we went in more wanting to contain Gray than Jones. You know, we thought if Jones gets his 15, 16, fine. If you look at all the games they've won or been really good in, Gray's gotten 17, 18, 19. Well, sure enough, we don't execute that part of the game plan. Gray gets open, hits some threes. He starts to feel it. So now they become a little harder to guard. So, and then we just shot ourselves in the foot. I mean, part you got to give Alexander credit, but you know, when we can't pass and catch, I mean, there were times in that first half we'd throw the ball over, just drop it, you know. Yeah. Or last play of the half, we're trying to run a set play, we fumble the ball out, they get a run out layup at the buzzer, you know. And those are things that just kill you. So it was probably, I said this after the game, it was probably as frustrated as I've been as a coach here in a lot of years. I mean, it's probably been, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, it's probably been 7-8 years since I've been as frustrated as I was in that first half the other night. But at halftime, honestly, it wasn't a time to yell and scream, you know, because that wasn't going to make it better. So we went in and we tried our best to talk to the kids.
Did you get into one of these, let's just come out in the third quarter and let's just try to get it. Let's just try to get it, cut it to 10 yeah, or I to mean, 6 and then go from there? Or?
We honestly talked at halftime about just keeping it, you know, the, not changing a whole lot of what we were doing defensively, just trying to be a little bit smarter. And then offensively, we tried to make a couple adjustments. And that it didn't work because they extended the lead to right around 20, I think, at one point in the third quarter. I think they were up 40-21, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think 21-point
lead. There eventually came a point then where during a timeout somewhere late in the third quarter, I just told our kids, look, at this point, just pin your ears back and just go after, you know, because what do you have to lose at this point? It's not working out.
You were either going to make a run and get in it, or you're going to get blown out.
So we turned the press up. We started to get some baskets. They still got a couple easy ones against us, but I could feel the momentum slowly starting to turn a little bit. So we just kept the aggressiveness and just tried to get back in the game that way. And you know, luckily we had enough time to get all the way back and take a lead with 1.5 seconds left. But I just
But right at the half, they had a bucket right at the buzzer, and it was just like putting a knife or you know throwing salt in the wound. And as the kids left the floor, you were just kind of squatting down. It was kind of, you know, comparable to your Tebow move.
But you just looked
helpless.
I felt a little bit helpless. I honestly was sitting there thinking, what in the world are we doing? There was just no excuse for us to play that badly. Like I said, Alexander was playing well. I mean, as well as Alexander played, they probably deserved to lead at halftime, but they shouldn't have been up 13 points. You know what I mean? I said that going in. I said, Alexander's a capable team. They can beat you. But I didn't expect to get down 20 in the third quarter. You know, there's a difference in if they play well, okay, it's going to be a ball game. Whereas if they play well, you know, and we just lay down and don't do anything, that's how you get down 20 points. Luckily we came to life in the third quarter. And I thought maybe, you know, talking about how the game was physical, that probably benefited us late. It hurt us early maybe, but late it benefited us to allow us to still be aggressive and play and make a couple plays. So yeah, I mean, I said on the radio after the game, I felt very lucky, to be honest with you. Whenever you play a game like that, you normally don't come out on the good end of that. So fortunate to win, but at the same time, give a couple of our kids credit. I thought in the fourth quarter, several kids made very big plays for us. You know, Ryan Chester had a driving layup and a foul when we were down 6, I think, with only a minute and something to go. That cut the lead to 3. Obviously, Jordan Kidd, who had struggled all night, hit a big 3 to tie the game. Obviously, Alex making that play at the end was a big play, you know, where he knocked it loose, chased it down, and got the layup. I thought a lot of kids made big plays for us late when it mattered. So that's a plus.
Well, and obviously LB had suffered a knee injury. It wasn't any, you know, it's just a sprain, just kind of needed rest. And some of your assistant coaches, I had talked to them, and I think the original plan with LB was he didn't get the start.
No.
He probably in the back of your mind was thinking, I'm not going to use him a lot as far as minutes. But, you know, halfway through the first quarter, you really didn't have an option. And LB comes out and gives you 13 minutes. And it was very obvious. He played in pain Friday night.
Yeah, he did a nice job on the offensive boards, in the second half there, of kind of rooting out position and got a couple of offensive putbacks. Like everybody else, he didn't shoot the ball extremely well. Obviously, when you go 2 of 18 from the three-point line, you're not shooting it real well. But he did get a lot of points off offensive boards, knocked a couple free throws in. So, yeah, he played through some pain, and he's still not 100%. We're hoping, you know, it continues to get better and better. But I thought he had a pretty gutty performance, honestly.
The final score, 57-55. Vinton County runs the record to 11-6 overall. Now only have one loss in the TVC Ohio, and we're going to get into that whole situation here later in the show as far as looking ahead. Really with a win against Nelsonville, you will at minimum clinch a share for the TVCU. You're now 7-1 in the TVCU Ohio. In the Alexander game for the Vikings, LB Ramey and Ryan Chester lead the Maroon and White with 13 apiece. Jordan Kitt has 12. Alex Owings has 9 points, followed by Bryce Owings and Dustin Holsinger with 4 apiece. And Chewy Smallwood has 2 for Vinton County. You know, Bryce Owings, he fouls out, like, with, what, 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You know, and he did not have a big night point-wise. And, you know, Bryce is one of those players that he plays a big post-position player-type role and doesn't have a lot of size. But right. He's a kid that just always gives you so much effort. And sometimes that effort spills into foul problems. But he's really come along as a player.
Yeah, he has. I mean, honestly, you probably can't find more than one or two games all year where Bryce hadn't played well. And honestly, you know, this past weekend was probably one of those that he just didn't play really. He missed a lot of easy shots that he normally makes. But you know, it's going to be pretty hard to play well every night for 20 games. So, I mean, you know, he's been pretty consistent for us this year. So it was our job to pick him up a little bit the other night. He had kind of a rough game, but he'll be back. He'll bounce back from that.
Tell you what, coming up next, we will talk about the tournament seeding, not just for Vinton County. We'll kind of touch on all three, the D2, the D3, and the D4 throughout southeastern Ohio, because, as you know, Coach Combs, it is almost basketball 30 at the Big Barn over at the Ohio University.
It's getting close.
Rolling up quickly. We'll talk about that. Also, a preview of a very, very busy week coming up for the Vikings as the Viking Realm Ball podcast rolls on. Before we get into this tournament stuff.
Yeah.
Valentine's. Well, two big events this week, which I'm sure you're well aware of, both of them. Valentine's Day tomorrow night. I'm sure you've got a very romantic evening following the game with the beautiful Amy.
Yeah, since we both have to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work the next day. Sure.
And I'm sure the little guy usually wakes up at, what, 2 or 3 or 4 once to check down.
He'll sleep through the night.
I mean, what does Cupid Matt Combs, Coach Matt Combs, going to, like, pick up a pizza on the way home, and you guys are going to watch some, you know, cuddle and watch some game tape at 11 o'clock at night, or what?
I mean, I'm sure she'd appreciate that.
She's probably used to it.
Yeah, no, I doubt we'll do anything. Maybe we'll be able to go out to eat this weekend or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? Even
SportsCenter, nothing.
No, probably not. With the schedule the way it is right now. Shoot, you don't know when you're going to play. When's the next cancellation going to be? So it's hard to make plans.
As far as the weather, you're fired up thinking that, you know, tomorrow on Tuesday the 14th we're supposed to maybe get a little weather. So you're
always on edge about that a little bit. Yeah.
You're on edge about that, but you know, you've been lucky so far this year. The other big thing's coming up this week, Thursday, the 16th. I'm sure you got that marked on your calendar. My birthday.
Oh, is that your birthday? Yeah.
Don't play stupid with me. I know you've already got my present.
Well,
jeez, I know.
I didn't even know. Did not even know.
Oh, well. All right. Just tell you what. All the work I do.
We'll have to plan something big for that. That's big.
Maybe a golf trip or something.
Yeah.
I've done some recon in the past week. We'll talk about that. All right. Let's talk about the tournament. Yesterday, down at the Jackson High School, Bob Kite and his staff, along with the Southeastern District Board, always put together a nice little afternoon where all you coaches from all the Southeastern District congregate and have your little organizational meeting. And then, you know, someone asked me, how does this work? And as I understand it, all the coaches get together in the cafeteria. You have a brief little open meeting.
Right.
And then all the D2 coaches, as well as the D3 coaches, D4U, I kind of go to a separate classroom.
Yeah, all the sites go to a separate classroom. So all the D2 schools are going to be playing in Logan go to one class.
Southeastern.
Yeah. So they all spread out, and then you vote. I mean, it's a process basically where you just start with the one seed. Who do you think should get it? All the schools get a chance to tell a little bit about their season, you know, and then basically start voting. And, you know, what, you know, like in ours yesterday, for instance, it started off usually the 1 and 2 seed. Well, not always, but a lot of times, you know, those are kind of obvious. Yesterday, Warren, I think, got every vote for the 1, and then you just sort of start moving down the line, you know. So that's basically the process. Doesn't take very long usually. Sometimes there's a little controversy in it. Sometimes there's not. Like I said, in ours yesterday, everything was, I thought, pretty straightforward.
Well, you guys, you picked up the 3 seed in the Logan sectional. You will be playing your first game a week from Friday night up at Logan High School, taking on the 6 seed, the Fairfield Union team. They come in a 9-9 record thus far. They play in the, what is it, the MSL Buckeye? Or they play in one of those MSL.
I don't even know which one it is, but it's the main. It's the one with Logan Elm, and it's a tough league. I mean,
Logan
they play
Elm,
in there
Canal,
with
Winchester,
Logan Elm, Canal, Bloom Carroll's loaded this year. Amanda,
Bloom Carroll's state ranked. Yeah,
Amanda's having a really good year. It's a tough league. It's tough. Circleville's got a solid group, so it's a good league. They play a good schedule, you know. So it'll be a challenge for us for sure. While we're talking about D2 for a minute, I guess, you know, we were pretty I think pleased with where we were placed on the bracket. I mean, you're going to play somebody good. Marietta's a good team. Sheridan's a good team. Fairfield Union's a good team. So it really just came down to, you know, matchups and all that. So, but I mean, I'm pleased with where we're at. I think, like you said, like I say, you're going to have a tough game regardless. So, you know, you just go in there and see what happens. I don't know. It's not one of those situations yesterday where you could have gained a big advantage, in my opinion. I think all three of those teams I just mentioned are really good. So it's not like there was somebody sitting there like, ooh, I'd like, you know, if I could get them, they're not real good. You know, we just don't have that this year. I mean, if you look at our bracket, Athens got a 7 seed. Obviously, they're a capable team. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, Gallia was the 9th seed, and when we played them the other night, I thought, you know, there's times where they play some pretty good basketball, even though their record doesn't necessarily show it. So, yeah, I mean, there's no real cupcakes in there to jump all over. So it's a tough sectional.
Well, in the way this bracket, and for any of our listeners that would like to get to a website that has all this information, the Southeastern District Athletic Board, they have a website. It is seodab.org. And you'll just go to Winter Sports, click Boys Basketball, and it gives you all the brackets. But as far as the Logan sectional, obviously Warren Locals won. Coach Stuyvesant and the Logan Elm Braves get the 2 seat. You guys get a 3 seat. Marietta, or were they the 4?
Yeah.
Sheridan was 4.
Marietta 5. It really doesn't matter other than Jersey College because you're playing each other.
Right. And as soon as that first sectional game, then everything gets crossed up. And you start playing teams out of the Southeastern District. Southeast High School.
Right.
D2 sectional.
Right. So, like, the winner of the 4-5 game from ours plays the winner of the 1 game from theirs. And it cross over like that because you only have to win 1 to get to the district this year.
I'm not going
to
ask you relative to the Logan sectional, but out of the Southeastern High School D2 sectional, Chillicothe got the 1. Anything in that? Do you see any upsets, anything that you think that might be interesting?
Well, I'll tell you what, that is like ours in a lot of ways, where there's a lot of depth in that bracket. I mean, you start getting down there, you know, you've still got pretty good basketball teams. Like Uniota's 3, and I think they're playing Circleville,
which
Circleville's
is a
got
6.
A nice ball club. Yeah,
it's a you know, Uniota is a 3 seed with a 12-5 record. Chillicothe's a 1 seed with a 12-6 record.
Right,
and you can make the argument, well, you know, Uniota plays in the SVC, and then, you know, Chillicothe plays in a bigger, you know, the SEOAL. Right. But you know, there's I could see. You know, Circleville also 12-6, and they play in a tough.
Yeah,
they play in the same league with Logan Elm and Bloom Carroll and them, don't they?
Yeah.
They play in the MSL. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're right in that league, same league. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you start looking at seeds and people automatically think, well, if Circleville would beat Uniota or Fairfield Union would beat Vinton County, well, it must be an upset. Well, you can't, you know what I mean? I don't know that you look at that just by seeds. I think, you know, seeds work out for different reasons sometimes. But no, I don't, you know, I don't know that Chillicothe or Waverly, who's Waverly playing that, Carl, the 2 versus the,
Waverly's going to get the winner of the Miami Trace, Greenfield McLean game.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Greenfield's got a solid group. I haven't seen Miami Trace, but I doubt Chillicothe and Waverly have a whole lot of trouble in the sectional. But from that point on, you know, there could be some really competitive games in that sectional, I think.
Well, and a lot of it, I think, is matchups. And I mean, I haven't talked to you about your thoughts on this, but you know, kind of how you guys landed. I don't think you could be any more happy with the seat you got. I don't think that you weren't going to get a 2 over Logan Elm, and you weren't going to get the 1 over Warren Local.
And like I said, after that, it's crapshoot. You know,
well, it's a crapshoot. But I guess my thought, and not that I'm saying anything disrespectful, that if you are fortunate enough, because this, I mean, for all Vinton County fans, because you're a 3 seat and you're playing a 6 seat,
yeah.
Fairfield Union is going to give you a game.
Very good team.
And they play a very tough schedule and a tough league. If Vinton County is fortunate enough to get by Fairfield Union, and the chalk goes as it should, you'll be playing Waverly March 1st at the Convo.
Right.
I think I would have rather Vinton County got Fairfield Union than got, say, Marietta. Marietta's right. Is a big team with a lot of size. It probably isn't the best matchup for you guys. But again, this is tournament time. Anything can happen.
Right.
It's one and done, and you just pin your ears back and play the best you can and hope you have more points than the other team. But, let's talk a little bit. We'll touch a little bit on the D3 and a lot of teams there, and that Jackson sectional is just a murderer's row.
The D3 is kind of fun to look at, I think. when you look at that, I guess when you're looking at teams that got good draws or bad draws, we'll go through it here. But the one seed out of that Jackson you're talking about is Chesapeake at 18-1. And, it looks to me like they've got a pretty good draw. And, of course, they're going to have to play a Huntington teammate possibly in the second round. And we know that they're a pretty good ball club. But Chesapeake's got a pretty nice team, and they're pretty tournament tested. If you look at that next part of that where Peebles is the two seed out of the Waverly,
right.
that could get interesting to me, because one team that, like, I'm telling you, that has a lot of talent but is just at times this year been inconsistent, Zane Trace. Zane Trace is down there playing Belpre. Zane Trace has probably played a little bit better schedule, a little tougher schedule throughout the year, because that SVC has been a pretty good conference. And, Zane Trace has played some tough non-league games. You consider Zane Trace, they're 9-9, okay? And they've beat Valley, they've beat Uniota, they've beat Huntington. So, they've lost to Paint Valley twice. They've just been up and down. You talk about a team in tournaments that could, get rolling, they could get all the way to probably the district finals before they would have to play a Chesapeake. So that's a team to keep an eye on, I think, Zane Trace.
Well, and the other thing with, Belpre, I don't know a lot about them. I know their first-year coach, is it Jordan Thornhill?
Yep.
Young kid. First-year coaching, and he's done a good job. And, the hockey, TBC Hockey sometimes gets knocks as not being maybe as stout of a conference as the SVC with a lot of other the SOC2, teams like that. But, 13-5 going up a 9, that will be a good game, and I could see – either one of those, whoever comes out of that, if Zane Trace knocks off the 3-seed Belpre and plays Peoples, that I see what your point is on that top half of that bracket. Anything could go there. And then on the bottom half of that D3, you got Eastern Brown, which you know well enough.
Right.
They get the one seat out of the Waverly sectional, and they're gonna probably have no trouble with Paint Valley or Northwest. But then you got Southeastern down there. And then, of course, you got Howie Caldwell's Lancers.
Right.
There could be a shakeup on the top half of that.
Yeah, because you've got Eastern Brown, who I believe started the year like 1-4.
Because they're one of the better players is hurt.
He missed two of those games, I think. And they've got it together. We caught them at a bad time, obviously, where they were starting to play pretty well. And I don't think they've lost since. So now you're looking. But like I said, I will say this, though, and Southeastern Fed Hawk will be a good game. I don't know that Southeastern will for sure win that game, but let's just say for the sake of argument they do. Southeastern's every bit as talented as Eastern Brown. I don't think there's any question about that. Top to bottom, they've got the talent. Again, can they put it together at the right time? So, that's very interesting. Now, the other part of that, though, I wouldn't want to play Ironton, I don't think.
No.
And so Wellston getting the two seed is a credit to the season they've had. That would be a tough matchup, but you're in the districts at that time, you know what I mean? And so your program is getting back to the Convo, and I'm sure that's what they want to do. But Ironton is a 3-seed there. It speaks to the toughness of that Jackson sectional. They're pretty daggone good.
They're athletic as all get out. And Mark LaFon's a good coach too, but he's probably going to get the winner in the first round of Oak Hill Portsmouth West, which I think Norm and the Oaks will survive in advance there. But that I see Ironton doing that, but I could also see Wellston.
But that's a tough game for Ironton. They're probably not loving playing Oak Hill right there, but still, it's
in Oak Hill's backyard, obviously.
Right.
And then when you drop down to the bottom bracket, there's actually three brackets in the D3
right.
sectional. Nelsonville gets the one seed out of the Athens sectional, which nothing ill will intended to the Athens sectional. I think if you were to, and maybe we should get on that real quick before we get out of this segment. the one thing, the big argument you have is the people that are the teams that are playing in that Jackson D3 sectional.
Right.
And then they look over and they see the Athens sectional. It's nothing right. against any team or any league, but I have to agree that the power rankings of the teams in the Jackson sectional was so much more competitive than the Athens sectional. And the idea has been brought up in the Southeastern districts. And from what I've understand, you correct me if I'm wrong, other parts of the state that are already doing this. And I guess the Ohio High School Athletic Association, it's up to each respective district.
Right.
But talk about this concept of a super sectional and what's your thoughts on it?
Well, it's something that I've been a proponent of for a while, and I'm not going to name other coaches, I guess, on this, but there are several other coaches that have a lot of influence that badly want this and have been pushing for it. Basically what it is, in case people don't know, what you do is you seed everybody in your district. So basically in Division III, they got 30 some odd teams. You would seed them all. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a process. I won't get into the whole thing, but there's a process of how you do that where it's time effective. But you seed them all, and then you basically could go to any site to play, depending on, because your seed order is sort of like a selection order where you can kind of put yourself on the bracket,
mm-hmm.
And so you can have a little bit of control of where you go play and possibly who you play depending on when you go on. And so, but you're not tied to a site. So in other words, say Portsmouth that normally plays at Jackson,
right.
They could go play at Waverly depending on where they go on a bracket, or they could go play at Athens. So the sites would stay the same, but you wouldn't know for sure where, until after the draw, where you'd be playing. And what that does is it doesn't, because right now I want you to think about this and it's silly really, because you're basically the way we do it right now is we decide in essence who plays who, not specifically because you vote on that, but who might play who based on where you're located on a map.
Well, it's between because you and seven other teams or eight other
yeah,
teams.
Yeah. And the only way we do it, it's not how good you are. It's where you're located on a map.
Right.
The only reason that Portsmouth and Chesapeake and Oak Hill and Wheelersburg and South Point, the only reason all these schools go beat the daylights out of each other in this one Jackson sectional is because they happen to fall on a map that way.
Exactly.
It's not based on how well you play or how good you are. And that's always been our argument, to make it more fair for everybody, to make it equitable across the board, because then you get into some situations where – your first round of games oftentimes at the Convo are blowouts. Last year that happened. Mm-hmm. Wellston had the unfortunate thing of having to play Chesapeake right out of the gate.
Yeah.
They're down 30 points at halftime. And there were some others. And that's what happens a lot of times because of that. And we've seen it in Division II also where, as years go on, one of those sectionals will be loaded one year. You'll mm-hmm. have a couple years ago, we were 16-4. We played a 16-4 team in the first game and a 19-1 team in the second game,
Chilly.
And had we, no, the 19-1 team was Logan Elm. We didn't get out of the sectional.
Yeah.
We're 16-4. We win a game, don't even get out of the sectional. And maybe over in Chillicothe that year, our record might have put us at a 2 or 3 seed. Who knows? But because if we would have seeded everybody together, it would have been more fair, more equitable across the board. We have pushed for this. I don't think there's been much serious consideration to do it, quite honestly. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there actually has been some serious discussion. But I just don't see a reason not to do it. The only argument I've ever heard against it is travel concerns. And the thing of it is, that would only possibly affect a couple schools. You might have a Peebles or North Adams have to go to Athens
yeah.
to play a sectional game. But guess where you send them to play their district games?
Same
Athens.
Town. Right.
I mean, nobody cares in football. When Vinton County made the playoffs
a few years ago,
yeah. where did we go? Canal Fulton,
yeah.
which is about 3.5-hour drive for us or
suburban
whatever.
Suburban Akron, Canton, up in that area.
Yeah, nobody cares in football to send a team up there.
Well, the thing being
and
is
that's
that
what
you're
I'm
gonna,
saying. I mean,
half, one of those teams is going to be finished after the game. So it's not like
most
it's going
to. Teams, I figured this last year, almost every team will only play one game because they'll either lose
right.
or they'll win and go to the Convo. There's only those teams that play in the play-in games could have to travel twice. So you're only going to affect 3 or 4 teams in each division, or I mean, maybe four or five teams each division, and what's the chances of every year it being the team with the furthest to travel? There's going to be years it doesn't matter.
Okay,
I mean, if you're Vinton County, do you care if you play at Logan or Southeastern? Half hour,
well,
either
in our situation, it's not the
but
travel.
But there's a lot of that. I mean, if you're Portsmouth, do you care if you go to Waverly or Jackson? You know, maybe Athens might be a little bit further, but there's enough school. You know, again, it's not like you're going to take 3.5 hours, like my football example. It's right. Not like you're going to be traveling that far.
No, and I guess my next question, and then we'll get out of that, you know, the state has obviously said you guys do that. You do business the way you want to do it on a district level. So is this just a matter, and I'm not trying to, you know, name names or anything, is it a matter of all the coaches having a consensus and you guys getting together and say, listen, we want to put this to a vote? How does that work?
No.
What
coaches have no say.
Who,
I mean, I'm just
does?
Being honest with you. It's the Southeast District Board. They've got to make that decision. The coaches have spoken. I mean, both coaches, both districts, Doug Stuyvesant and I wasn't able to personally meet with them last year, but I typed some stuff up. Doug took it. He met with them. The Coaches Association, everybody we've interviewed from our districts have overwhelmingly been in support of it. You know, is it, I mean, you're never going to have 100% majority. I'm not saying that. They agree on anything. But the overwhelming population of the coaches district, they want this.
What's the argument for not doing it, or do you?
I don't know. The only thing I've ever heard is travel. I don't know another argument. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. We've never been really. It's never been explained to us really any of the problems with it. The travel is the only thing I've heard, and again, to me that just doesn't hold water because we do it in other sports. We're not talking about an obscene amount of travel time. You might add 30, 40 minutes to a trip. So I don't know. I mean. Part of me just thinks that change is hard and people are slow to do it. You know, I'm going to be honest. I think sometimes people are just slow to change. I think it would be beneficial to our district, though, and I hope eventually it happens. There's a reason why they do it in these other districts, and most of them seem to like doing it that way. So the coaches I've talked to from other areas. So hopefully, you know, again, maybe I'm on a soapbox here, but hopefully eventually it'll get changed.
Okay. Well, interesting stuff as far as the D4. I don't even know if you want to get into that because I personally, other than looking at brackets and seeing records, I am completely ignorant to the topic because I really don't follow a lot of D4 schools. But
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look at that D4 without getting into it too long. Southern's had a really nice year. I'm sure they're looking for, as a possibility to get out. I haven't even looked at the brackets, so I don't know who's playing who, but I know Leesburg Fairfield usually got a pretty nice team in Division Four.
They're a 5 seed.
That's they're a team that you got to watch out for because they play a pretty good schedule and we scrimmage them. They've got a nice group. So yeah, I mean, there's some, and I'm sure there are others. Those are just two that jumped to mind. And
Portsmouth Notre Dame is the 1 seed with a 16-2 record down at Valley in that sectional. Mm-hmm. Pike Eastern.
Yeah, they have a nice team.
They're a 2 seed with a 13-5 record. You know, one thing I didn't realize, you know, Western's a 10 seed out of the Valley. Larry Jordan, only 2-16 on the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a rebuilding process there. He knew that going in. It's going to be a job. So I think he's got some younger kids playing varsity, so it'll probably get better year to year.
Yeah, it seems like inevitably you always have a team out of the SHL, which is a lot of smaller schools, but, you know, you'll see a smaller team out of that area come out, like a Manchester or, you know, someone like that. But
there's a team. Where are they?
Manchester's a 4 seed with an 11-7 record.
And they've got a very good player.
And they're playing Leesburg Fairfield. That's a first-round game.
Ooh, that's a tough game. Yeah, Manchester has an excellent player, and obviously he's got to be good because his last name is Combs. So, I mean, but no, in all, and he's a really good player.
He's not related to you?
No, he's not. Not that I know of. But no, he's a really nice player. But like you said, they have lost 7 games. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, interesting time of the year. And again, folks, if you're looking for a website to walk you through all the Basketball 30 March Madness, so to speak, just check out www.seodab.org. That's the Southeastern Ohio District Athletic Board website, and they have all the brackets there, not only for the boys, but also the girls' side. It'll be interesting. This is the last regular week of the regular season, and then come next, I think next Tuesday, next Wednesday is when the tournament games start rolling, depending on what division you're in. So not long till all that fun will be going on, and I'll be living at the big arena over in Athens, Ohio, listening to Sweet Lou Horvath.
There you go.
Coming up next, we'll talk about the week coming up. Before we get into this tournament, a lot of unfinished business and getting a conference, you know, figuring out who's going to win this TVC Ohio. We'll talk about the games coming up next as the Viking Roundball Podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Roundball Podcast, anytime you want to send us an email question, not me, but the coaching guru, Matt Combs, it's never too late. He checks it daily. It's VikingRoundballPodcast@yahoo.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail message on the DBK Media Services voicemail line. That number is 740-569-3254. Coach, we talked about the tournament. We talked about you guys pulling off a pretty good win against Alexander last Friday night. Now we need to look ahead to the future. And I tell you, you know, I know the tournament's the furthest thing from your mind because even though you set atop the TVC Ohio with a 7-1 conference record, you know, Athens is a game back, and they've got some doozy games coming up this week. They still got to go on the road and play Wellston, as well as they got to play Nelsonville too.
Right.
So, you know, they got their work cut out for them, but I think they're playing, you know, Coach Skinner's got those guys kind of coming together after the loss of Devon Sharp. But you guys got a tough date tomorrow night, hopefully, weather permitting, a makeup game against Coach Jay Klein's Nelsonville York Buckeyes. They have a record thus far this year, 11-6 overall, 4-3 in the TVC Ohio, and they didn't get that number one seed at the Athens sectional for no reason at all. So obviously they have a lot of respect over there. Talk about a little bit about this game, because I mean, this is a big, big, big game.
Yeah, yeah, it is. You know, we played them early in the year and got out of there with a 68-60 win. I thought both teams played pretty well that night. They've had a nice season. I mean, and they've played well of late. I think they've won, you know, maybe four of their last five or five of their last six. I'd have to look. I mean, other than that Wellston game on the road, I mean, they've been winning lately. And they got a nice group, obviously, you know. It starts with guys like, I think, seniors like Cox and Klein for them. But they've got other guys, Austin North, you know, averages almost 10 points a game. And they got a Carter kid that shoots the ball well from the perimeter. And then, obviously, they have some size with Moore and Freer. So they've got all the pieces. And they're like all of us, you know what I mean? there's nights they've probably feel like they've dropped the ball a little bit, and then but there's stretches they've played well, and I think that's probably true for every team in our league this year. We've all had our moments of inconsistency. I don't think anybody can, I don't think anybody's free of that charge, so to speak. You know right. what I mean? But they're a good athletic team. Coach Klein does a good job with them. They can get out and run and play, and they're aggressive defensively, so they've got, you know, we're gonna have our hands full. I mean, they're a very challenging team for us.
Well, and then looking ahead to Friday night, the Wellston Running Rockets are back on their home turf. Their gym floor is done. Saw some pictures of it. Looks very, very nice.
Yes, and they'll actually play there tomorrow night against their first game. There will be tomorrow night against Athens.
Yes.
So we'll be their second game on that floor, and yeah, I mean, I hear good things about it.
Well, and you know, the team obviously losing your head coach over the off season is tragic, not only for the kids but the entire community. And then they have this little slip up with the gym floor needing to be redone, and they've either been playing a lot of road games that they weren't scheduled to play, or then they got shoved into their middle school gymnasium. You know, they've kind of had an off balance year. And Wellston's just kind of a team that, you know, they've had some quality wins. They just, you know, they beat Huntington earlier in the year. They beat that Zane Trace team at 9-9 that you've talked a lot about that you're going to have next week, which we've already kind of touched on them. But, you know, that team's just some games you think they would just blow a team out. They make it tight. You know, they had a tight win over Meigs that you thought that they would throttle right. them. And I think they Meigs chalked up like 71 points. And then they lose to Huntington St. Joe. But still, I've said all year long, Wellston presents, as does with Nelsonville's size, both of those teams have some size, like to play a post game, maybe not the best matchup for you, but looking at that Wellston game, you know that's going to be a nut house down there Friday night, because they're going to want to get you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the way it normally is when we play. I mean, it's always been a rivalry here. Two schools border each other, and I mean, ever since I've been here, it didn't take me very long to figure out the Wellston-Vinton County thing, and it's always a rivalry, and I'm sure they'll be excited. you know, and so hopefully, you know, hopefully we can go down there and match that intensity. I mean, they've got a very good ball club. Like Nelsonville, they're very athletic. They have some depth. They have a lot of seniors, it seems like, or at least several seniors where they have some leadership. So, I mean, obviously they've got one of the best players in the league in courts. They've got some other good ones that go around him. It'll be a real challenge.
Yeah, you got Ousley and Blake Warrington, and I'm just naming.
And then
a few.
You got the two guards and Craig and Brown.
Right.
So they've got plenty of experience, and like you said, they've played really well at times. They've beat some good teams, so it'll definitely be a challenge. I'm sure they're excited to get back on their floor.
Well, they did you a favor by they picked up a big win on the road at Nelsonville, and that kind of threw Nelsonville.
That was at their play. Yeah, Wellston beat them at that. Actually, was at
that
Wellston.
That was at the middle school. Yeah,
yeah. They picked up a win there that helped us a little bit at the time, you know, they'll have an opportunity not only with us but with Athens to decide a little bit of how this league shakes out. So there, you look at Wellston this week. They've got a
Athens.
Couple games where they're going to play a role in this whole thing, and they've still obviously are probably figuring they've still got a shot to get back in to possibly a share of it. So, you know, I'm sure they're looking at it from that standpoint. So I think every team right now kind of knows who's playing who, but at the end of the day, you got to take care of your own business. You
right.
Know,
as much as you'd like to scoreboard watch and depend on other things, it's you know, right now it's kind of like you take care of Nelsonville tomorrow night. Doesn't matter. It would be nice if Wellston, you know, took care of Athens, and that would kind of clinch the thing. But at the same time, without a victory against Nelsonville, nothing else matters.
No, you got to worry about number one right now with yourself, and you've got to make sure you're ready to play. I think we are. I mean, our kids, we after the Zane Trace game was canceled, we got together, had a practice today, obviously. I think we've, you know, we're prepared for Nelsonville. I think the kids know what we need to do. That's easier said than done because Nelsonville's got a good team. So hopefully we can go out there and actually execute it.
Well, you're coming off both wins against Jackson, a two-pointer, and then against Alexander. And I guess the one trying to find, well, obviously a win's a win, but the positives in both of those wins is really that's probably the first time this season that we've had to come back from a deficit.
Right.
And I think that, you know, as ugly and as much as, you know, our kids might look like a deer in a headlight with the Jackson game and the Alexander game, at the end of the day, I think, and I was talking to one of the players' fathers, I was talking to Kenny Ramey, and I said, you know, the good thing about it, when you start seeing kids not giving up, fighting through adversity, to me, that tells me they're growing up.
Yeah, maturing. I think so, too. I hope. I think so. And obviously, they've proven that now, so we don't have to get down 20 points you know, every night.
It's like, okay, guys. You
know, thanks for showing us that, but let's go ahead and play well early. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, early in the year, whenever we got down, we just seemed like we were never able to really overcome that, you know. When we were really good, we were really good. When we were really bad, we were really bad. Here lately, we've been able to stop the bleeding and actually, you know, overcome some adversity. So that's a positive. Like you say, though, what would really be a positive is not face so much adversity. So hopefully
that's true. We
can play a little bit better.
If for no other reason, for your health. Quickly, we'll get out of here. The TVC Freshman Tournament going on all this week out of the high school. What nights are they going to be playing?
Well, they're playing Monday tonight. But for people, by the time they listen to this, it'll be Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It will be the final four, so to speak. It'll be the semifinals on Wednesday.
Right.
And then Thursday, I think at 6 and 7:30 or something like that. The first game's at
Wednesday
6.
Night.
Yeah, and Thursday at 6 o'clock will be the championship. We're not even going to have a consolation, I don't think, because not making teams travel again or whatever. So Thursday will just be one game, championship game. So final four Wednesday, championship Thursday.
Okay, and Coach Sowers had a great year with that team, and also a little props for the Vinton County Lady Vikes as they capture a share of the TVC Ohio Tournament. They are playing right now as we speak, as we tape. They are playing Gallia Academy in the Athens sectional now. If they win, they will play Marietta, the I think they're like a two seed.
I think so, yeah.
15-3 team. That game will hit Saturday at 1 o'clock at Alexander High School, not Athens High School. So, Coach, we'll get you out of here. We might talk to you next week. We'll just see how the schedule plays out. But we appreciate your time, and hopefully you'll pick up a couple wins and be able to put another TVC Ohio title on the wall.
Yeah, let's hope so. And, like, obviously we won't be taping at our normal time next week
because
we'll
be playing
Zane Trace. So hopefully we can do one more. Folks will just have to keep their eye out for it.
No, seriously, let's do that. That'd be a good idea. Yeah, let's get Matt Combs in here an hour and a half, 2 hours before a varsity game.
No, no one wants to hear that.
You wouldn't be able to answer any questions. You're such, I mean, you know, 2 hours before a game. I love it when I'm out to high school and I see like someone come up and want to like have a conversation with you. I don't think, it's not that you're being mean. Don't take it the wrong way.
Mind's in a different place.
Yeah. Because
you know?
Someone could come up there. I told you this. Someone could come up to you and say, Coach, your house is on fire. And all you would hear was blah, 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 blah. You'd be like, how many more minutes till we go? I want to get this game over with. Well, hey, good talking to you. We'll talk to you again sometime next week when we wrap it up. For Matt Combs, Carl Knox saying, thanks again for listening to the Viking Realm Ball podcast. And we'll talk to you again next time.
You've been listening to the Viking Realm Ball podcast, presented by Ramey's Homes and Ramey's Auto Group, the Knox Insurance Agency, the Vinton County National Bank, DBK Media Services, and MacArthur Super Value. Follow our podcast on Facebook at Vinton County Vikings Basketball.
Or subscribe to this jewel.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
By dropping by dbkmediaservices.com. The Viking Realm Ball Podcast, your destination for Vikings basketball on the World Wide Web.